So here it is, September 8th, as of the recording of this week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast. And what's interesting about September is we have, just a few more weeks, and then we're officially in the fourth quarter. And you know what that means? We're going to be heading off into that year-end sprint. So this week, I thought it would be appropriate if I share a document that I use toward the end of the sales cycle that's really helped me to expedite my deals. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 20,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. So today we're going to be focusing in on a really simple document that I've been using at the end of my sales cycle. And I found that it's helping to get more deals across the finish line. And, you know, just for the record, I'm sure that we'd all agree that there are things that we should be doing throughout the entire sales cycle to keep things moving forward. In fact, I had just written a blog post a few days ago about how this idea of closing or the beginning of the closing process doesn't start with you saying, hey, can I have the business? Or whatever way you ask for the business, it actually starts a lot earlier. But today, we're going to be going to the end of the sales cycle, and I'm going to tell you about this document. Now, I have to confess, when it comes to this document, I really wish that this was some really sophisticated thing that I came up with. It's not. It's just, it's so simple. I feel like I probably wrote it in crayon or something with like the backwards letters and little stick figures and shit. I mean, it's just a really simple thing that you can do. So here's what I do. Toward the end of the sales cycle, I send a document. And the document basically tells them, just outlines the steps necessary to get the ball rolling. I told you, it's kind of embarrassingly simple, right? But the theory behind it is not so simple. And don't be quick to dismiss it, because there's actually a much deeper meaning to this whole thing that we're going to get to in a minute. I think there are a lot of reasons why prospects delay, and even in many cases, just go in a different direction. Or how about those times where you knew and they knew that you were offering something better, but it was easier and perhaps safer for them to kind of stick with the devil they knew instead of the devil they didn't know. So what we want to do is, there are certain things throughout the entire sales process that we want to reinforce, and we want to use repetition, because we're no longer living in a world where we say something once, okay, got it, and they own it, and they're thinking about it day and night. We all know what's going on with the attention span of the human race. So what we need to do is we need to reinforce certain things along the way. And one of the things we want to reinforce with our prospects is just how simple it is to transition over to our solution. Now, listen, this could be a very short podcast for you, because if it isn't simple to transition to your solution, probably a good time to shut this down. I don't know that this is going to help you. And you and your team should be doing some soul searching about how you can make it a much simpler transition for them. But what I think happens with a lot of people, and I realized this many, many years ago when I sold printing, and some people were under the impression that to switch printers, it was this big involved thing, getting the files and moving the files from one printer to the other. And what I did back then was I wanted people to understand that this is painless. And once you give me the go-ahead, we're going to take this off of your plate. We're going to put it on my plate. You're going to get back to the 50 million other things on your plate, and you're going to let me run with this, because this is what I do. This is what I get paid to do. And I had a process in place that just made it simple for them, where I was doing the work, I was locating things for them, I was playing detective and going places and, you know, just making it easier for them. But it's the same now. It's the same with training and coaching with people. So what I want to point out is that this isn't just for people who have this type of service already, and it's a matter of transitioning away from one quote-unquote vendor to another vendor, right? It can certainly apply to those scenarios. But this is also for people who have never embraced your solution, where this is a first time, like this is the first time they're utilizing this type of solution. So it works in either scenario, but the concept remains the same. We have to reinforce that it's going to be a painless transition. Now, a few other things before we get into a tiny bit of the nuts and bolts here. But not only do we want to reinforce that this is a painless transition, we want to be mindful of the fact that most decision makers are overwhelmed. They have a lot going on. And when it comes to making a change, especially if what you're proposing would be a major change, there's a sense of, okay, well, where do I even begin, right? Haven't you had that? Have you ever had major changes going on in your life, in your home, in your business, where you're just sitting there thinking, where do I even begin? Hey, haven't we even had it on things of kind of a something that's of lesser importance? And I'm going to fess up here. My office at Castain Training Systems, up on the second floor of my home, the world headquarters is located up on the second floor of my home. The last few months, I mean, it really became a bit of a shit sty. I mean, it got kind of bad. It really got bad. And you know what's bad? When my wife won't even come up here anymore. It's just bad. And when she does, she wears like a hazmat suit, gas mask and everything, so that she's not contaminated by the various science experiments I have going on here. But sometimes it gets away from you. And you say, where do I even begin? Right? I mean, I don't even know why the hell I gave you that example, but I just want to be real here. But I mean, seriously, where do you begin? Well, you begin by beginning, but sometimes when it comes to our prospects, we have to show them what that first step is. And once we show them how easy the first step is, we can show them what the next few steps look like. Now, if this is a real detailed process involved in transitioning, we don't have to list all 117 steps. To me, that would just completely undo what you're trying to do here. That doesn't sound simple anymore. But certainly, if you outline the next few steps, how to get the ball rolling. Now, the other thing, too, that you want to reinforce, and that's what this document does that we're about to talk about, it's we want to reinforce your professionalism. We want to reinforce your expertise. Remember, you know, people have these sayings in sales. And there's these old sales adages, right, that go back who knows how long. But there's one I haven't heard in a while, and maybe you hear it all the time. I just don't hear it as much anymore. Probably because everybody wants to talk about value and shit, right? You have to add value. You didn't add value. Value added. I mean, it's nuts with the value thing. But the thing that I used to hear a lot of, and I really believe this, is people buy you before they buy your solution and buy the company. Some people look at that from the perspective of, okay, you have to be likable and you have to have rapport with them and everything. And certainly those things don't hurt and they help. And yes, that plays into this crazy little mixture that we have to come up with. But if you really believe that people buy you, then what you have to understand is that one of the things that you have to reinforce with them, because remember we said before, repetition is important throughout the entire sales process. You need to reinforce this idea that that you are very capable of handling their business. You are very capable of helping them. And in this context, you are very capable of making this painless for them. This is not your first rodeo. You do this all the time. So that's the other thing that you want to reinforce. So now, really what I did here, and I've done this with a lot of different products that I have, but I'm going to give you the example of my coaching product. So just in case you didn't know it, one of the things I do at Castain Training Systems is I have a one-on-one coaching program. And this particular program is a six-month coaching program. We sort of meet, if you will, by phone or by Skype two times a month for 45 minutes each. And there's some other parts of it, right? But now there's a little bit of a transition that takes place. It's not anything complicated, but there are a lot of coaches that complicate the process, that they'll have you take an assessment after assessment. And there's all, like, out of that 6 months of spending so much time evaluating you, that they really aren't getting down to the nitty-gritty. So that plays in the back of a lot of sales reps, like, thought process, and thinking, all right, do I really want to go through that? Do I have the time? I need to get results now. Now, I'm not going to get your results now. I wish I was that good, by the way. But I can get them a lot quicker than most people because I'm not going to spend 70 years over-evaluating something. So one of the things I like to make very, very clear to people who are considering me for a coaching program is how simple it is to get started. So I'll give you a great example going back a few months ago, and I've done this dozens of times, and it has resulted in a very high closing rate that I have for this particular product. What I do toward the end of the process with most people, not every single person requires this, but what I'll do when I especially have somebody maybe on the fence, you know that in spite of our best efforts, sometimes people truly need to think about it. They need to step back, especially my coaching program. This is not a $10 investment for people. This is a six-month investment in time. I can promise you, again, it's not going to be some $10 investment that you're making. You're going to be paying for those 6 months. So this is an important decision. So some people need to step back and do a little soul searching. So one of the things that I do, there are other things that I do too, in this whole communication map that we need to have during a sales cycle. But one of the things I do toward the end is I simply send an email letting them know that should they decide to go forward, here are the next steps. And you could put a subject line of anything you want. You could put proposed next steps. You could put a subject line of moving forward, three dots, that kind of thing. But what I do is I take them through what's going to happen right from the moment that they've made the payment for the program. So I'll just name a few things just by way of example. So I might put something in there. Once payment is received, you're going to receive an assignment from me that's not going to take you long to do, but it's going to help us to flag areas that we need to work on together. From there, you're going to receive a calendar invite that's going to be a recurring appointment that we're going to have every 2 weeks on, say, Tuesdays at 1:30 p.m. Eastern time or whatever, and I'm laying that out. So far, this is painless, right? This isn't anything where people have to go and rewrite the history of mankind to get in on the program. But then I'm also going to lay out for them. I lay out what the first session is going to look like, because with me, the first session, see, I have to be a good doctor. And one of the things that I have to do as a good doctor is I really need to take an x-ray of the patient. So the very first session of my coaching calls with my clients, we call it a sales X-ray. And it's a system that I developed so that we could really take a good look at everything from where you're strong, what's challenging you, changes that are going on, changes that you've experienced, the qualities that you feel that you would need to thrive in your industry. Because see, you're not hiring me to survive. You're hiring me to thrive. That's really why you want to get a sales coach. You want to thrive in your industry. So we're going to identify those qualities, and there's some other things that we do as well, but I outline it in bulleted form, short and sweet, maybe one sentence description, tops, maybe two if need be, but I want to keep it very, very simple. And then what I do is I reiterate the coaching structure that I have in place. Now, just to let you know, again, I'm sorry if I'm giving you TMI here, but I'm just trying to do this to get you thinking about your business and what you could do. So I go through the coaching structure. So what I always say to people is that we're always going to start with accountability. You're going to tell me, okay, here's what I did over the last few weeks. Here's what I worked on. I tried this, went into the lab. I tried this. This didn't work, but I feel like this worked better. You know, we're going to have a discussion about that. And then from there, after we have that accountability, we're going to make a decision. We're either going to talk through a challenge that you're experiencing where you need to, there's something timely going on, a deal you're working on, a deal lost, maybe, I don't know, just whatever it is that we need to address. We're either going to talk about that, or we're going to go through a lesson that I've prepared for you based on that sales X-ray that we took in the first session, an area that we flagged for improvement. Heck, if there's time, we're going to do both. Then at the end of the session, we always end it by having the action verbs flow. And what I mean by that is I'm going to say to you, hey, we just hung out for 45 minutes. What do you see as the action items that you're going to be able to tackle based on this session over the next 2 weeks? And that's an important thing, an important part of my coaching program, because I don't want to take on the role of your eighth grade algebra teacher telling you what you're supposed to be doing. I am the advisor in this relationship. You're going to tell me what you need to do. But as your advisor, if you start piling that plate way too high and it's something that I need to say amen after, because really what you have there is a prayer, you're going to get that kind of direct response from me. But if it's something where I feel the opposite is happening, where you're telling me over the next week you're going to do the equivalent of, yeah, I'm going to breathe. Yeah, I'm going to tie my shoes. I'm going to drink a glass of water. I'm going to call you out on that as well. So anyway, that's kind of a long-winded thing. I'm not going to go through all that with them. I'm saying that for you to understand how I walk them through just a quick reminder of the structure that's going to be in place. This whole thing that I outlined for you today, if I actually showed you the email and we printed it out, it would easily be one side of an 8.5x11 sheet of paper. It's something that, and this is a quick little bonus tip that I want you to consider. When you're putting together some kind of reinforcement document, we're going to call it like this. This is a reinforcement document because we want to reiterate how simple it is to transition to our solution. You don't want this document to read like War and Peace. You want it so that if you were staring at it, you could print it out. Sorry for killing another tree here, but we print it out and look at it. And ask yourself, if I was the person reading this, would this intimidate me? And you guys know what I'm talking about. How many times have you opened up an email and you look at it and it reads like War and Peace? I don't have time for this. And you sort of put it aside thinking that you're going to come back to it. But considering how many emails the average person gets, let alone someone who is of the decision at the decision maker level, you're probably never going to get back to it. So it's going to defeat the whole purpose. So I try to keep it short and sweet and use bulleted items whenever I can. I'll also use things like a larger font to emphasize a point. I will use bold and headlines, things like that. But the whole document that we're talking about here is just simply outlining the next steps to get started. That's what we're doing, because this is a wind down type of document where we're winding things down. And then that's basically it. And you might be thinking, okay, Paul, that works great for a coaching product, but the $10 million solution that I'm selling, it's not gonna work at all. And to which I would probably respond, bullshit, it isn't gonna work. Why wouldn't it work? I mean, it's the same principle. It's just outlining the next step so that they're not sitting there. What we want to do as sales professionals is remove every speed bump that could possibly be in the way. We want them to have just a nice, easy ride to the finish line. That's what we want to do. But you know how it works. When you're busy and you're overwhelmed and you have all these things going on as a decision maker, and adding into it that now we're going to be coming up on year end. Many of them now are preparing budgets for next year. Many of them have fallen behind, by the way. And the reason why I say this is because over the summer, a lot of time is lost. Now, on one side, that's kind of negative. Forgive me if it sounds like I'm bashing decision makers, but people do mentally check out over the summer and procrastinate because the sun's shining. They're even doing things that they're allowed to do. Like, I don't know, take a vacation, take a few what the F days, right? But projects many times go on hold over the summer because it's a pain in the neck to try to coordinate schedules around vacations. So things get pushed to September. So now on top of the normal workload, you have that now coming up on year end. So you have a lot of things coming at them. And what the reason why I believe this is a timely tactic for you to use is that we want to move as many deals across the finish line way before Thanksgiving here in the U.S. Because right after Thanksgiving in the U.S., even right before, because before Thanksgiving, guess what you have? You have people who take what should be a four-day weekend and they turn it into 7 to 10 days. And the reason, and the way they do, and by the way, just very quickly, I've done it. And I bet you many of you guys have done it too. And what happens is, it's a few days before the holiday. What happens? You start thinking about that apple pie and the turkey sandwiches and watching the games and everything else that you do, reuniting with family, slowing down and hugging the kids, and whatever other traditions you may have. Actually, I'm really obsessing over turkey. In fact, now I'm starting to think of the damn turkey. But anyhow, you're thinking about all that kind of stuff. And you mentally check out a bit. You're not looking to wind things up before a holiday. In fact, anything, you just want to wind it down so it's nice and easy. You go into that holiday nice and relaxed. Then what happens after the holiday? You come back. And, yeah, you can't just jump right back into work. You have to shake off the damn four-day weekend. So very easily, what should be a four-day weekend can turn into 5, 6, 7 days. That's lost. So just keep that in mind. But then what happens after that is shortly thereafter in December, you have people now, they're going to start saying to you, you know what, let's put this off until January. Or they start mentally checking out, or they just don't want to ramp up and pick up the pace in December. So my feeling is right now, if you have deals that are at the point where it would benefit from just showing people, reinforcing how easy it is to transition over, then you're going to want to do this document. Again, the document that we're talking about is just a simple email that you're sending. You could just put it right in the body of the email. This doesn't have to be an attachment or anything. We don't want any extra work to have to go into this in terms of the recipient having to do stuff or spreadsheets or anything that's going to take up all their time. But nice and simple in the body of the email. And it's basically going to say, here are the next steps. Here's how we get started. Just to let you know, hey, sorry if I'm jumping the gun, but we've covered everything that you needed to cover. Certainly, if you need to think about it longer, that's fine. But I wanted to tell you what happens next. And then you go through it. Now, if it's a very complicated process, you're not going to go through everything A through Z. You're going to talk about what do you need to get going. It could be as simple as, all I need from you is a PO number. I run with it. You go back to work. And then me and you will reconvene in 4 weeks after I've done the following 17 things. That kind of stuff is important. But, you know, just as a quick tangent, I'm sorry. I have to go on a very, very quick tangent here. But I really feel it's related. I worked in this one industry. And what we did was, you know, we had a contract. And, you know, the contract was the final few pages of the proposal that we would submit. And at the end of every month, there was this sales rep, and I've talked about him before. This guy was ranked number 2 worldwide out of 375 sales reps. And he's one of just a small handful of reps that I decided to model when I set the goal when I was 60th worldwide in the same organization to get into the top 20 my first year. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to get in the top 20 that first year, year number 1. I wanted to land there. So I modeled the behavior and the practices of some of the top sales reps. I had a chance to not only model the behavior of the number 1 sales rep 2 years in a row, but I also had a chance to get to know this person and have a few beers with this person, shoot pool, and just really learn about what made this person tick. But the other one, the number 2 sales rep, I worked for. He was my sales manager. And this guy was a badass. He really was. And one of the things that he would do at the end of every month, I remember the first month I was working there, I go into the bullpen, and his desk was covered with all of these mugs, these company mugs that we had with our logo on them. And they were stuffed with candy and a company pen and his business card. And it was wrapped. I don't even know what the hell you call this because I'm a guy. But you guys know what I'm talking about. It's almost like that Easter basket wrapping, that cellophane or whatever the hell it's called. And it was that colored plastic wrap or whatever. He had that nice little ribbon on each one of them, and he had to have, I don't know, about 7 or 10 of these on his desk. And I said, Tom, what's this? What's going on? And he said, you never heard of the Candy Cup Serenade? And that's, you know, we were all wise asses because we're all from New York. And I have Candy Cup Serenade, what's that? And he said, at the end of every month, what we do is we make up these little candy cups and we go and physically visit all of the people who are the fence sitters, the people who haven't made a decision for whatever reason, whether they've completely ghosted us, which wasn't a term back then, just so you guys are clear. People just, back then, I think we called it going MIA. People have gone MIA to people, yeah, I'm still thinking about it, or the boss, whatever it is. People who have not made a decision yet. So a few days before the end of the month, we would go around and drop them off. And we wouldn't say, oh, I'm leaving this off for Mary. We would say, I'm here to see Mary. And then Mary would, and this would always play out this way, folks. Mary would come to the front, see you there, recognize you because you had met with her a few times, and give you that look. And we've all gotten this as sales reps. You know that, like, what the hell are you doing here type of look? Not quite nasty, but certainly not welcoming. But that's why you have the candy cup. And you say, oh, I'm really sorry if I'm intruding. I just simply wanted to drop this off and thank you again for considering us. Now, that silly little move led to more instances where we left with a signed contract than any other thing we did in our sales process. And here's what I concluded, being the rocket scientist that I am, by the way. My conclusion was this, that many times when you have a plate full of all kinds of things, and when you're presented with a way to get one of those items off the plate, and you feel strong enough and confident enough in that decision, if you can make it go away quickly, you're going to. And the fact that we were physically there made it very easy for them. So that's why we left with it. So, you know, I'm telling you that story, and I went off on that tangent because, in a way, it's a different approach here that we're talking about. This isn't dropping in with this, here are the next steps thing. But it's along the same lines. We want to show them, hey, look, and we're not going to say this to them, but what we want to imply is, look, you've got a million things going on. You've got a lot on your plate. You've got a lot on your mind. We don't want this to be another thing that has to occupy more of your time than necessary. We can make this go away. Here's how simple it is. Here are the next steps. Here's what all I would need from you in order to move forward. And that's it, folks. Seriously, I promised you at the beginning, there was nothing sophisticated about this. Now, what you might be doing right about now is you might be saying, this isn't sexy enough. This isn't sophisticated enough. That right there can be a big mistake for you. I've been in sales now for 36 years. And one of the things I learned is that there are very few big answers, big ahas that are left when you've been at this a while. So what happens when we hear something that sounds very basic and not sexy, not sophisticated? What do? We tend to dismiss it instead of trying it. So my advice to you is, we're not trying to come up with the most sophisticated piece of sales advice ever. The best piece of sales advice, just so you know, it's the piece of advice that you actually use. And I found the simpler the advice, just like making this whole process for the buyer simple and simpler, the higher the probability that somebody's going to get it. So today, I'm going to cordially invite you to give this a shot. Think about the deals that you might have where you're able to utilize this document. Now, I actually share this document in some follow-up stuff that I've prepared for everyone who takes advantage of a really cool download that I put together. I put together a download that addresses probably the most critical part of any sales cycle. And the most critical part to me is the time between meetings. Because when you're face-to-face with someone, when you're on a phone call with them, you can gauge their mood a little bit. They're thinking about you. You're getting about as much of their attention as you possibly can because you're in that moment with them. But now afterwards and between meetings, now that's a dangerous time for sales reps. But the problem is most sales reps, their follow-up and their way of staying top of mind is calling to check in, calling to follow up, calling to see if you've made a decision yet. And aside from that sounding very typical and just rather boring too, if we're being honest, the thing of it is that there's really not a lot of value in that. We're missing opportunities to reinforce key parts of our program and our offering. So I've put together a really cool download, and we talk about what to do between meetings without ever sounding typical. And certainly, we don't want you to sound desperate, because this time of year, a lot of sales reps sound really desperate because they are. They want to get the deal in the bank. They're trying to qualify for President's Club. They're trying to end the year with a stronger number. So what they don't realize is that they're coming across as really desperate to those who are on the receiving end of it. So if you'd like to learn more and you'd like to see this document that I use, again, this is part of the follow-up stuff that you're going to be getting in this program that you can download, would you go to yoursalesplaybook.com/follow-up, all one word, lowercase letters, yoursalesplaybook.com/follow-up. With that, I'm Paul Castain from YourSalesPlaybook.com, and I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Come visit our blog at YourSalesPlaybook.com/blog.